The following is Jonathan Coleman and Aaron Hawks Talk. I'm a UX designer and I'm an SEO, working together to heal the rift between customers and the marketers who love them from the 2011 Information Architecture Summit. The 2011 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by UIE's User Experience Training Library, with scores of online seminars your team can access on demand. Hear the field's top experts on timely topics and the current design challenges you're facing. Get a free UIE virtual seminar at uie.com/IAS11.
Hi, everyone. We're going to get started here. I'd like to introduce you to Jonathan and Aaron. They're going to talk about how UX and SEO can work together, and they have a lot to cover, so enjoy, guys.
We're going to go for it. Thank you. Okay, so I get the mic. They're going to give me this mic, stop me from talking with my hands, as I am wont to do. So welcome. I really want to thank all of you for coming, first of all, because we are up against a session with toilet paper in the name. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be really popular. And so I appreciate you coming to hear about what we have to say today.
Yeah. So I'm John Coleman. I do search engine optimization, SEO, for REI Recreational Equipment Incorporated. With me, as always, is the ever-effervescent Aaron Hawk.
Hi. I manage the user experience team at REI.com. And when I started a year and a half ago, I was a user experience team of one. If any of you have ever seen Leah Bewley's discussion about being a user experience team of one, now I'm a user experience team of six. So that's significantly better for me on a lot of levels. But I think we should just get started.
Yeah. Slides are available for download already. It's the only time I've ever had that happen in advance. So we're actually well prepared. Oh, incidentally,
winner.
We have won the award for the longest session title here at the IA Summit. Mm-hmm. We finally did it, Aaron. It's happened.
We won something. Yeah. I tell you that Jonathan Coleman, as an SEO person is wont to do, works with a lot of words, and we'll talk about that. Thank you, Jonathan Coleman, for bringing us that trophy.
You're welcome. All about keywords. But first, let's learn about you. So I'm actually really happy we have a small crowd, because this can be a little bit more of an intimate conversation. So I'm going to do this by hand raising. So raise your hand if you are, in fact, some kind of professional who works with user experience. Me and IA,
consider yourself a UX designer.
Wow, so pretty much everyone. Great, okay. Now, how many of you actively work with someone at your organization who is a search engine optimization professional? Oh, we got a couple.
Actually, we have quite a few people. Better than I thought it would be.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay.
Okay.
Why are you here? Why isn't everyone else who doesn't work with SEO professionals here?
You have healed the rift already, probably.
Well, our goal in doing this presentation is hopefully to help this industry understand more the value of working with SEO professionals, because we feel that there's a win. We feel that right now we're missing a piece of the customer experience, and we're definitely missing a piece of bringing value to businesses. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
So I'll just start off with a super, like a little story. This is true confession. This is true confession time of Aaron Hawk. I recently started REI about almost 2 years ago, and it's my first time being an in-house employee. For about 5 years, I was with an agency. If any of you were just in Jeff's talk about lean UX, and it was all about deliverables and wireframes and design. And I will say that probably not once was I introduced to or work with any of my clients' SEO people. Right? And rarely was there an SEO person on my project team on the agency side. So now that I've worked with Jonathan, I can only imagine what those poor people were thinking when me and the client would work and we'd come up with a design and they'd be like, yes, and we'd be beautiful wireframes, beautiful design comps, hand it to the developers, and then something would launch and I'm quite sure their SEO team was like, I can't drive traffic to this, I don't know what this is, why haven't you talked to me about things you could have done? And I was probably never in those conversations. So imagine my surprise when I got to REI and started doing wireframes and design comps. And I had people saying to me, well, this is great, but have you talked to Jonathan? Has Jonathan seen this? And I'm like, who's Jonathan? And what does he do? Oh, he's the SEO guy. You need to talk to him because he's the one who gets to kind of tell you if this is going to work or not. So there was a little bit of bristling there, right? Like, what? Who's this guy and what's he going to tell me about my design and why does he care? So over the past 2 years, it has been great. We have fostered an amazing working relationship, and we're here to talk about how to not have that reaction when SEO tries to tell you what you might be able to do with your design.
So that's essentially our question today is, can user experience architects, can user experience designers work with SEOs? Can that be like chocolate and peanut butter? Can it be sort of the epic win, not just for the organization, but for the customers that it serves? I obviously have an answer in mind for that. But we're going to walk you through, essentially, myths. We think that this is what stops, you know, otherwise adult professionals from working together, is these myths. And we want to sort of take apart this mythology. I'm not saying that you believe in these myths. I'm saying that much more, you know, stupider, less attractive people than you believe in these myths. So let's just jump in.
I would just, before we start real quick, I will say, while many of this might seem like hyperbole and exaggeration, I will tell you that some elements of this has been part of our conversation for the last 2 years. So we'll start with that.
All right. So here we go. Myths. Okay.
Jonathan.
Yes.
SEO is just spam. It's fancy spam. You're a highly paid spammer.
What?
Justify yourself.
Well, now hold on a second. Now, are you saying that when we look at experiences like this, when we search for the North Face, and this is the text we found, that's spam?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, my customers who search for the North Face, by the way, a lot of this is going to be REI-centric, sorry. A lot of my customers search for the North Face. When I see them searching for the North Face, I'm pretty sure they probably know what the North Face is, right? They're probably looking for some North Face gear and apparel, and yet everywhere they go, they're faced with these pages. They're like seeing some gear and apparel, but they're also seeing walls of text explaining what the North Face is. The only thing that leads me to believe that this is bad is this is probably written for the Googlebot.
Wow.
And not for my customers. And I really only want to put things on the screen and the page and the experience that adds value to my customers.
Huh.
Explain.
Well, here's the thing. I will say there are SEOs out there who use this tactic. We call this keyword spamming, right? The North Face, about the North Face logo, and so on.
North Spam. Face jackets, North Face sleeping bags, North Face.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When it's done well, SEO is really about relevancy marketing, which is to say that what we try to do is bring the most relevant content within the easiest grasp of the customer. So if spamming or if keyword spamming is sort of the only tool in your belt, everything is going to look like a keyword spamming opportunity. But there's a lot more to SEO than that. There's all kinds of things with navigation, architecture, design, interaction, microformats, microdata, taxonomy. There's more to SEO than just keyword density on a page. If you wanted to know which tool SEO was, yes, it is the can opener. That's true. That's documented. The other thing to keep in mind is that there's a reason why SEOs chase after rank. Rank in and of itself is not important. I can make anything rank for anything.
JCPenney.
But the important thing is that when you rank well for a term that customers use, that they search for in order to meet their goals, essentially, high rank in a natural search engine correlates very well, not just with traffic, but also with conversion. So there's a piece of SEO that affects conversion, that helps you engage in conversion optimization, and in fact helps the customer meet their goals, which is what good SEO is all about.
Okay, I might buy that. Okay, well, I mean, I design for people. I do not design for the Googlebot. Robots do my bidding. I do not do theirs.
What?
Explain.
Well, you know what? Just as people come to your website and consume your content, search engines do too. They follow link to link to link, and they scroll through our web page's content in order to find out what's there so that they can match it with keywords that users actually search for. So the thing is, once search engines do that, they actually become agents of wayfinding. And this is just an example of a map interface, but search engines, just the normal web search, performs the exact same utility for users. Users rely upon search engines' understanding of our content in order to find their way and, again, meet their goals. Incidentally, coffee tip, City. Really good stuff.
Tell them Jonathan Coleman sent you.
Yeah, you get the Google discount.
Okay, I could see that. I could see the robot is working for me. But I will also tell you that I feel like every day Google changes something. They all change something. I don't know what they're doing, favoring their advertisers. I have no idea what they're doing. And I feel like I can never rely on one set of solid rules and design principles because they're always changing it. And so I have to bring my design to the high priest of the Google, and he will read the entrails and make a sacrifice and tell me whether or not this is a good search engine optimized design. So that's a little bit frustrating.
Well, to be fair, I am quite familiar with reading entrails. It's a side hobby. I do some consulting on it. But here's the thing. Any discipline, when you see it from the outside, perhaps library science, can seem mysterious, can seem confusing. How come they put fiction here and nonfiction over there? How come I don't have a card catalog at home? And what is with this Dewey Decimal System? It can be confusing when you're not an insider. My goal as an SEO is not to make you an insider. My goal is to have you not see me as a guru. how many SEOs get introduced to user experience professionals as being the guru, the high priest of the Google? That's a problem. SEOs are not gurus. They're just practitioners. So what we want to do is work with you from the get-go, from that conception phase of the project, to build SEO into your strategy. Our goal is just to drive more qualified customers to your awesome experience design.
Okay, well, I'm slowly getting there. You're convincing me. But SEO really is, per the please refer to spam slide, is really about text, not design or information architecture. The Googlebot cannot appreciate the beauty of my designs and what it's saying to the customer. And so I don't really want to worry about Google when I'm doing that. I want to focus on my customer.
Well, here's the thing. Let's just look at a quick example. Here's a site I happen to enjoy, rei.com. Tell your friends. So here's a product page. And I think you could say very well here that text is an important part of the experience for the customer. There is no design without content, right? So Google and Bing and all those search engine bots, they experience text just like users do. But the thing is, they also have to find the page just like users do. So whether they use an interactive experience like our tent finder or whether they go through our hierarchy and follow those links, we're telling search engines and users something about the content they're going to find. They're not just looking for tents. They might be looking for a tent that has a capacity for 3 people or one that's made by Big Agnes. So design and architecture definitely have a big impact on humans, but they also give search engines hints as to what our content is all about. So in the end, SEO is not just off in a little bubble somewhere. It's intricately connected to all of the disciplines in this room and a few others like infrastructure, IT, and operations, things like making your site faster or reducing those pesky 404 errors. It's really all about relationships. And I think we would say that user experience design and architecture is pretty much the same way.
I'm almost going to hug you, almost, but I have one more thing to say. I don't really need Google because I have a crack marketing department at REI. I have an amazing email program. I have a wonderful display ad team. I have a great pay-per-click Lulu, who does amazing search engine marketing. I have a great print team who sends out a lot of flyers and mailers and signage in stores with directing people to my experience. So I can just rely on the advertising. I don't really need the Google.
Well, you could. But think about this. Paid search CPCs go up about 30% each year.
What's CPC?
CPC is cost per click, essentially the amount of money we spend on advertising. So ask yourselves, does your budget go up 30% each year? If it doesn't, then that traffic is going to peak and then decrease over time. Also, you see this chart in the background. Paid search takes up about 90% of marketing search budget for the sort of the pie of search engine marketing, whereas SEO or organic search, natural search, tends to only get about 10% of those expenditures. But here's the thing. When we look at where the customer actually clicks, natural search tends to get about 90% of those clicks, yet it's the area in which we invest the least. We'll go back and look at that, compare, 90-10, 10-90. Paid search, which is the amount we spend the most on, only drives about 10% of those customer clicks.
That makes sense.
So we need to invest in SEO. And in fact, I'd say if natural search, if your SEO tactics are not providing at least 50% of your overall traffic portfolio, they've still got room to grow, which is to say that you can optimize to bring your customers to your experiences.
So, I mean, are you saying that if I focus on good design that fosters good search engine optimization, I can save my company money?
That is exactly what I'm saying. And more than that, you can actually create additional revenue while you do your savings.
Can I hire more people?
It's the rare double
win. Can I hire more UXers?
Yeah, hire more UXers.
All right.
Exactly.
I'm sold.
All right. I was able to bring the UX person to the SEO camp. Let's see how this works the other way around.
Okay, top 5 SEO myths about UX. Hit it.
So, you know, I just don't think experience can be measured. I mean, it's a human condition quality. I mean, how can you measure that?
Are you just saying that because you can crank out all these spreadsheets with numbers and
that
SEO provides better
measurement? It doesn't exist unless it's in Excel.
Right. Well,
I've always said that.
I think I totally beg to differ that UX has a lot of tools for measurement. If anybody sat in Richard Dalton's talk today, and there's going to be a whole bunch of talks here about measuring the experience, I have a lot of ways that I can know if my experience is working. I have some passive observation. I can look at analytics. I can look at search logs on the site. I can look at satisfaction surveys. I can look at conversion funnels and flows and click streams, and I can kind of get with that to the what. Then I have this awesome team of people who understand how to talk to customers, and I can get to the why. I can sit down with them, I can show them some things, I can have them talk through it as they do it and tell me, you know, how they feel about it. I can find out how long it takes them to do it. I can find out how effective they are. I can find out their like pre and post task expectations. Was it harder than they thought it was going to be? And I can put numbers to it.
Wow. You know, I usually draw the line at talking to customers. I like sitting behind my screen where it's safe. Users scare me. But okay, so that's interesting. I didn't know all that.
I can do it.
But here's the thing. Surely, there's no way for you to tie all this, you know, fluffy user experience work to actually driving business and revenue. There's no way.
Yeah, you can. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, yeah, I can. I'm going to use this example by Susan Weischenk from HFI because she has this great video on YouTube. I have the link to there that just is this quick whiteboard explaining, and I have found it remarkably effective in my organization. Say you have a website like Akiva where people donate and then microloans go out, and the only way that people can do that and donate is through this website. And you find out through feedback on the site, word on the street, looking at your analytics, there's something going on with your conversion funnel. Once people decide what to donate to, it's kind of hard. The process must be hard because you're losing them. You're losing about 50 people a day, your analytics say, that people drop off before giving you their money. And we also know that the average user donates about $50 when they do donate. So you're looking at about $2,500 a day walking out the door, which is $912,000 a year. That's like $76,000 a month that I know many people would like to have in their pockets. So let's say here's where UX comes in. You can spend $50,000 investigating the problem, doing user research, coming up with design alternatives. You can spend $50,000 having developers code the solution to fix what you found out. So now you've spent $100,000. In about 40 days, you will have recovered your $100,000, and you will be on the way to 912. Done.
That's
Bam.
Amazing. You got me. You got me. I didn't know. That's fascinating. I wasn't aware that there was a way to tie the work that user experience professionals do in optimizing the customer experience to actual profits. That's amazing.
That's how we roll.
Wow. But certainly, with all the work you do and that $100,000 you would invest, isn't it just cheaper to let the Google solve all your problems? Why not just let the search engine determine what users want and then send users right to those experiences? Search should solve all of your navigation and hierarchy issues.
You are one of those clients I had that was like, why don't you just put a giant search box on the homepage and call it done?
No problem.
Yeah, okay. The problem with that is, I don't know how many of you come from the library and information science background, but you're about to get a little crash course in it. Users often don't know what they don't know. If you're going to ask them to put words in a box, a lot of times they don't know what words to put in the box. They're kind of not sure. So this is where we get our nerd on. I don't know if any of you in library school remember the design and berry picking technique by Marcia Bates, her diagram of how people actually go about finding information in a digital environment. But you can see here, people ask, and then they browse, and then they think, and then they browse, and then they ask again, and then they browse, and they think, until they eventually get over to the beautiful end state. They get what they wanted. So everything that we do has to support both of that quick search as well as refining and browsing. No one is just a searcher. No one is just a browser. I would say that if we designed something like that, our users would have given up right around Q3. So.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting because what I see in my analytics is a lot of searchers returning to REI.com with refined search terms. So they'll start on a search like the North Face, and then they'll come back to us on a search like the North Face Denali jacket.
That is what you're seeing.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, this is really helpful. But here's the thing. I'll tell you what I do know. I know our customers. Our customers are who I want them to be. And I know that because I optimize for the terms that they actually use in search engines. I have the data. I know the customers. What do I need you for?
Okay, so which one am I? Which customer am I? So the reality here is that you really don't know the customers. The customers are probably more than the sum of the terms they put in the Google search box.
Whoa, someone tweet that. That is amazing.
You don't know Jill until you talk to Jill or others Jills like her, right? What my discipline does is focus on understanding. You might be able to see all the words that users are putting in the search box to get to REI.com, but probably what you don't know is why. What is their motivation? Who are these people? Why are they looking for the North Face? Why are they looking for a tent? They're a dad who wants to take his kids camping for the first time and teach them about the outdoors. There's the busy mom who wants to buy a bike to teach her kid to ride a bike. I mean, I spend time trying to understand that so that when they do land on REI.com from the Google, there's all these other things that support the bigger picture because we spend time understanding Jill.
Okay. Huh. Okay, so I can see some value in that. That makes a lot of sense that you'd pay attention to more of what users do besides just their search terms. Okay, mm-hmm. That's helpful. But let me refine my query a bit here and sort of say, what I really want to say is that users' feelings don't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're feeling good, feeling bad, having a bad hair day. It doesn't matter, because all that matters is that, you know, they make that purchase. They come to our site, have a great experience, buy the tent. Feelings? Pah.
So put tent in box. Go, add to cart, buy.
Yeah, that's all there is.
I wish my job would be so easy if it were really all about that. But think about the last time you bought something and kind of how you felt about it. You were buying a tent, you're really excited. There's maybe other things you want to buy that go with it. If you or the Google land someone on REI.com and I don't make it easy, I don't understand how they think they should be able to buy that tent, I'm going to get some grumpy customers. And while they might struggle through without dropping off to try to buy it, they will not come back. And while search engines use links and whatever to be recommenders and referrers, I honestly believe your best referrers are satisfied customers, people who will come back. And you know what? Like this nice, happy lady, she might even like put a link to REI.com, like in Facebook or her blog or tweet it or something.
I like the links. Links
that's because she's happy.
Okay. Well, the thing is, you know, that's really helpful to know because I'm incentivized to grow sales year over year. It's going to be hard to do that with a cadre of unsatisfied customers. So, okay, that's helpful. Let me refine once again, because really what I ultimately mean to say, honestly, and make sure this is on the record here.
Jonathan Coleman said it here.
The user doesn't matter. The user doesn't matter. This is all fluffy talk. I mean, let's get to the real issue here. The user doesn't matter because all that matters is the search engine and the Googlebot and the Bingbot and the Yahoobot and the Botbot with the bot doing the bot. That's it. That's all there is to it.
Okay, I don't even know where to start with that one, but I will just say that ultimately the search engine doesn't have a credit card. And if you... the search engine can't vote, can't participate in our, you know, community or society. It can only mediate us doing things together. And the Googlebot can't purchase from me. I don't know how you're going to convert to sales if they can't give you money.
Okay.
Done. Bam.
You've really brought me a long way. I just didn't see it that way before. You're right. I do need to pay attention to humans as well as bots. I need to pay attention to customers as well as search engines.
I too will start to care about the bot, Jonathan. Okay. I will.
So, this leads us to our group exercise. How are we doing on time?
Pretty good.
Awesome. So, we're actually going to take a look now. You've seen how Aaron and I have come closer together, bringing our disciplines and sort of dispelling some of this unhelpful mythology. We're going to ask you to do the same thing. So, can UX and SEO work together? It's our group exercise. I'm going to split the room into two. It looks like there's more people on this side. So, this will be Team UX. Ready? Feeling good? And this side will be Team SEO.
Woo!
All right? Feeling good? So we're going to look at an actual example from REI.com. It's something a lot of retailers face. There's nothing particular to REI.com about this, but it is something that we've been looking at and have implemented a solution for. But we want to know what you think. So let's say you have a search term like the North Face Apex Bionic Jacket that a lot of people search for. And let's say your site, in this case REI.com, ranks pretty well for it, and it drives a decent amount of traffic.
It's like number 3 or 4 in the search engine result. Okay.
Yeah, you can Google it right now and see what it is. Now, when customers actually click through, they get to a product that is unavailable.
Bad experience.
It's a bad experience, right? So if customers are clicking through on this term, which we're ranked highly for, and they land on a page that says, hey, we're sorry, but this product's unavailable, that's pretty bad. But here's the thing.
And then they leave.
Yeah, and then they leave. Very high
quickly,
bounce rate.
Quickly.
Very high exit rate from this page. But here's the thing. We have this jacket. It's right here. Look. It's available. It's in all these different colors. There's a photo of a guy.
It's snazzy looking man.
Yeah, so we have this jacket. It's in stock. Customers can find it through every other channel besides natural search. You can browse to this page. You can navigate to this page. You can use the search box on aria.com and find this page.
It's paid search.
Yeah, paid search goes nice. Here, so very easy to find. It's just that this page does not rank well in natural search. So ultimately what ends up happening is that natural search customers are sort of penalized by the search engine. They're never aware that this page exists. They just leave the site figuring we don't have this product. So that's sort of the problem. That's what we're putting before you. So here's the thing.
Yep.
What would you do?
Because this is real life. This is what happened. So Team UX, you've seen the problem. There's a bounce rate. People Google that exact term and they come in, they like REI, they choose it off of Google and they bounce. So as Team UX, you are tasked with what few things would you do to reduce the bounce rate on the old jacket page and improve conversion for the new version? It's tricky. The answers are tricky. And Team SEO, what would you tell UX that they need to do to improve the findability and drive traffic to the new version of the jacket?
So by my clock, it's 11:44, so I think we can give you guys 5 minutes to huddle, and then we want to hear your suggestions.
You have to huddle. Get close together.
Yeah, huddle. Get
I
close.
I see all you people sitting in the back.
Meet your colleagues. It's okay to talk to each other.
You might have to hug it out later, so. Okay, 30 more seconds.
Finish up those recommendations.
So it took us longer than 10 minutes to come up with an answer to this problem, so.
All right, guys, we're gonna come back together so we're running out of time.
I know you guys wanna eat lunch, so
yeah,
my cardinal rule is I never make people late to lunch.
Yeah, UXers with low blood sugar, not a pretty sight. So, can Team SEO and Team UX each nominate a speaker? And I think we can bring the microphone to you. We'd love to hear your top three recommendations.
I almost dropped the microphone in the water. Are you going to be Team SEO, Crystal? All right.
Yeah, please. Team SEO. Come on.
What should UX do?
Woo! Team SEO!
All right. I think there are a few ideas that we came up with. One was, you know, redirect this page to the new product page.
Oh, okay.
Nice. The second one.
Very smart.
The other one was put this content on the old page. Mm. Replace the old page content with the new content, the one that's actually available. Mm-hmm. Another one was analyze all of the links into the old page and then change where those pages link to so that they start linking to the new page. Mm-hmm. Was there a fourth one that I'm missing? Yes, link to the new product from the old page so that both pages can be accessed.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
A lot of those were things we actually did, so brilliant. Thank you so much. You guys are spot on. Way to go. Represent. All right, Team UX, who's your representative? We want you to bring it.
All right.
Yay, Team UX.
Woo!
Yeah, so we just talked about basically changing the design of the dated product of the old product so that we're now showing a design that's completely focused on the new product mm-hmm. with a message on the screen that says the actual product code you were searching for, the dated product, is no longer the newest version of this. So basically just flipping it so that instead of focusing on, hey, this isn't available, we're focusing on what you were actually looking for and showing the old version, still having a message that says that product code is no longer available.
That would be a nice experience.
Yeah, that would be a nice success. And that is actually something we're also actively working on. So spot on, guys. I think you guys did a great job with
this.
Got
it?
Yeah, we agreed.
Do you guys have two more findings?
Seriously, guys, it seems easy, but it took us
a while to get to that. You guys did it in 5 minutes, so that's pretty impressive.
There are some system constraints, of course.
I think we had questions, too, as well, is the old one going to come back? Why is the old page here? Is it mm-hmm. going to come back? Because we might do something different if it was going
to
come back.
We had the same question, too. So as you can see, let you behind the REI curtain. We get a lot of customers who are like, I bought the REI Half Dome Tet in 1999 or,
1991, and I want to know, like, just,
I forgot the specs about my tent. Not sure why. These people, like, kind of nerd out, and they talk about tents with each other and, like, what the best thing is, and sometimes they'll buy a tent or something like that, and they'll want to make sure the new one they're going to buy is as close to the old one as possible. So this is why we have these products, these pages still here, is because we get a lot of people who really do want the historical information about the gear and apparel that they buy. And we don't really have a way right now to only do that for certain products, right? So it's kind of an all or nothing situation. And if you looked at the bottom of this page, the bottom looks exactly like that one page he showed with all this product detail. It's still there, which means Google is still just nom, 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 nomming on all that awesome content.
That is actually the sound Google makes when it crawls your site.
That's what it sounds like when it comes through your site.
It's true.
So yeah, it's an excellent question of why, because when I started, I was like, well, I don't even know why this page is here. But it's because we did get a lot of people wanting that information.
So really, honestly, guys, really hard exercise. Again, it took us months to come up with these answers. You guys did it in like 5 minutes. So hug it out, please. You guys can actually talk to each other and touch each other. Just hug it out within your teams. You guys did excellent work.
We'll hug you. And then
HR. Okay, there we go. There it is. See? SEO and UX can come together. We think that UX and SEO can be like chocolate and peanut butter. We think that this is a win not just for organizations, but for their customers as well. We think we're helping customers succeed at their goals better.
Yep.
So, can they come together? Yes, they can. And that's it. Do you guys have any questions?
We have 5 minutes.
All right.
Right here.
Well, this just really paid for my trip here, so this was my favorite session so far.
Oh, wow.
You actually exceeded all my expectations.
Nice. Well, prime reason, because I run a small boutique agency, and we work hand-in-hand with one of the top search engine companies called LSF Interactive. Okay. We're under one roof. It took us about 3 years. They acquired a company beforehand that we work with, but it took us about 3 years to implement this particular process that you're talking about. And we just had to refine it because content strategy came up. And the one thing that I know that is important is the salespeople need to understand how to sell user experience and SEO hand in hand. And if they don't, you're going to get into a world of trouble. And we're always trying to, when a salesperson comes in and says, okay, did you talk to them about the pre-production SEO, keyword analysis, keyword research? Then we do an SEO wireframe, then you talk to the content strategist, then the IAs come in and work with the SEO team to make sure that we can accommodate what they do. But it's an evolving process, and with what Google's doing, it's a continuously evolving process. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. This is great.
I'd add to that, again, because I came from an agency where we had a couple of really crack SEO professionals who could be hired, a lot of the clients were like, no, I have my own people, so I don't need your people. Which was where we ended up with the ne'er shall I ever meet their people. And I did not know until I started working with Jonathan that I really needed to meet those people. So it's been a long time coming, but here we are.
Any other questions?
One question on the, I guess, the 50% number. I often see this, like, we should be looking for this, like, 50% referral traffic from Google. I guess the question always in my mind is, like, do we want to see that ratio go up or down? Like, what are the actual objectives? And is it just currently a number that we're trying to get the chocolate peanut butter ratio nice? Or is
there's
it
an
really
optimal mix.
An optimal mix of these things? And it's going to depend on business to business or...
Yeah. Right. Really, what I would say is, it probably is a little bit dependent industry by industry, but the point is that if you're looking at your natural search logs and your refers, and all you're seeing are keywords related to your brand, then you're missing out on that entire long tail of traffic. And that's really where your qualified customers are going to be. So chances are, if all you see are those head terms, those trademark brand terms, your natural search traffic is only making up like 10 or 15% of your referrals, and you're getting all that business otherwise through advertising, social media, other channels. It's not that those channels are bad. It's just that if you can add natural search to that portfolio, you will greatly up your efficiency, i.e. you will reduce the cost for your entire traffic portfolio. So if you think about it sort of almost like from a stock portfolio kind of metaphor, it definitely makes sense to try to leverage some of that free traffic just to provide some greater stability and sort of long-term brand building.
Thank you. This was really good. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
I enjoyed it. I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about algorithms of the different search engines. We have an internal search engine. I work for government. And just interested in like MetaTagger, because we started using that, got rid of it, hired a content strategist, and changing up keywords all the time. What about people? Sorry, I'm throwing a lot at you.
Yeah.
What about the search words that aren't in the analytics? Mm-hmm. What about thinking of those different personas to bring the other people?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because we're going to throw a lot back at you. So we've assembled 90-plus hand-picked and curated resources all about SEO, but relating to UX, IA, taxonomy, metadata, semantic web, code, front-end development, back-end development, development. It's all here at delicious.com/SEO_UX. They wouldn't let me use a hyphen for some reason. Because honestly, at the end of the day, we don't want to set me up as the guru or the high priest of the Google. What you should do, really, is develop great content. What's nice about having a site search engine is that you get to control the algorithm. You can do testing and see what users respond to and what they don't. But develop great content, make sure it's accessible, link to it, and the search traffic is largely going to come. And once it does, then you can start doing the optimization to see what works for your customers. Because ultimately, that's who you're targeting, customers, not the algorithm.
Thank you.
How about that? See, I can learn. It happens.
One more? Yeah.
I don't need SEO because I've got social media.
Ah,
it's going to do all the work. So are there any myths to be busted there?
First of all, social media is SEO. It is practically the same thing. What's nice is that it's another free source of traffic. It just takes, you know, human resource hours, right? People hours to send those messages out, build those relationships. But ultimately, what you end up with is a double win. You get all that referral traffic from Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're at. But with those links comes long-term natural search growth. So by doing one, you can greatly affect the other. It's another way to sort of diversify your portfolio.
And that means you really have to have that redirect and referral strategy in place.
Yes.
Because
definitely.
Those are persistent myths that people, you don't update Facebook once it goes out.
Well, lots of links to product unavailable pages out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same problem.
Yep. Yeah, just to what he was saying, that's again in this evolving process this year. That is also part of the entire process. When we have a project, the social media team now comes in.
Yep.
And Twitter and Facebook and skin and all that stuff and branding it and how it ties in.
And I will say, make sure, just one side, make sure the social media team talks to the UX team and tells them what they're tweeting and putting out on Facebook. I can't tell you how many times I've seen things on Facebook. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they were going to link to that. I could have probably buffed that up a little bit before they did it. So anyway, we'll be around the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, here's how to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter. We're around here the rest of the weekend. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the 2011 IA Summit. For more great user experience design content, visit UIE.com and sign up for our free newsletter, UIE Tips.